una lila, nata, la pa torba, la pa jamón, una torba, torba jamón, una la pa.
¿Cómo
se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama?
¿Cómo
se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se
So whatever difficulties one encounters, such as various unfavorable conditions, it could be that one is separated from relatives or those that are dear to one. It could be that one meets with enemies. It could be that one loses all one's wealth or falls ill and so forth. Whatever one encounters, one should view that as illusion-like or dream-like, as having no true existence. Then we have verse number 25, which is as follows. If it is necessary for those who desire enlightenment to give up even their body, what needs to say anything about external things. Therefore, it is the practice of bodhisattvas to be generous without hoping for reward or result. So, in this verse, it is taught that the practice of the paramitas is one practice of a bodhisattva. So it said in this verse then that it is necessary for those that desire or wish to attain enlightenment, if it is necessary for these to give up even their own bodies, then what need is there to mention ordinary things, giving up ordinary things? For that reason then, it is said in the verse that one of the practices of bodhisattvas is to be generous without hoping for any reward or result, without hoping for anything in return. Then verse number 26 is as follows. If without discipline one's own welfare cannot be achieved, to desire at that point to achieve the welfare of others would be a source of laughter. Therefore, it's a practice of bodhisattvas to keep or guard discipline without aspiration for conditioned existence. So this verse then speaks of correct discipline, which means that one doesn't practice or one doesn't keep a certain discipline for the sake of attaining happiness and comfort in this life, or for the sake of attaining a superior rebirth, such as either a human being or a celestial being. One keeps or guards discipline out of renunciation. One keeps a certain discipline having renounced conditioned existence.
所以，宋格贝就这样讲了，说呢，昨天买把两个东西，我们都不赢了，今天东都不认得了，这今年的，这些呢，真的，基本就把买把这东西送了。So,
one then doesn't keep a discipline, aspiring for conditioned existence, since without a correct or proper discipline, one isn't able to accomplish even one's own welfare. Let alone the welfare of others. At that point, to aspire to, in that situation, accomplish the welfare of others would be only a source of
laughter.
So there are different disciplines in relation to the different paths. In terms of the Shravaka path, the main thing is to give up or avoid any activity that brings about harm, that through which one harms others. Whereas in terms of the Bodhisattva path, one actively works for the welfare of others. So it's not only a matter of giving up activities which will bring about harm.
Give alone to the Jasela, Nuzi, Tamje, and Tinte Tanta. They said, Kuna Kinde, Mabay, Zopa Bomba Jasela.
Then verse number 27 is as follows. For a Bodhisattva desiring the enjoyment of virtue, all that harm him are like a treasure of jewels. Therefore, it's a practice of bodhisattvas to cultivate patience without anger or resentment for anyone.
They cause the kuna, sinjin kuna, kede, pameba, mgava, meba, goni, zeba, gontoma, de jazet, josabanyam, de tovodivisa.
So here he said in this verse that one of the main practices of a bodhisattva is to meditate on patience or cultivate patience without any anger or resentment towards sentient beings.
De zeba, gongu, vijunti, de karesana, gave a long jo.
So one cultivates patience in the way that was mentioned, seems for a bodhisattva, whether male or female, desiring the enjoyments of virtue, a person or someone that harms him or her is like a treasure of jewels. Generally speaking, the practice of patience results in the accumulation of merit.
In the Tikpa Chimbi Lola Sanje to Kamban Tupala, Parada Simba Togu, Zogu, Parada Simba Togu, Nani Chik Zoba, 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 Tip Dravo Latin, Zoba Namindia, Namindia, Zoba Kambala, Dravo Kadinja.
So, in terms of the great vehicle, the Mahayana, in order to attain Buddhahood, it's necessary to perfect or complete the practices of the six paramitas. One of these six paramitas or perfections is then the meditation or practice of patience. That practice is then developed in dependence upon enemies. Therefore, enemies, in fact, are very kind to one, providing one for a support to develop patience.
जैसे केवल जो जो के मोले थे जो तो ले हुए थे जो तो कौन बताऊंगा मुंबई और जो तो ले हुए थे यहाँ नहीं हम लोग
There is then another text called the Bodhicharya Avatara written by Shantideva. The chapter in this text is devoted to the practice of patience or to meditation on patience. Rinpoche advises everyone to read this chapter again and again.
Can you run a dragon or a caddis on a young? Can you observe the David Taylor?
So whenever one encounters an enemy, one should read this chapter. And whenever one gets angry or aggressive, one should also read this chapter. So if one then reads this chapter thoroughly, when for example filled with anger, in a way that one is able to pacify the anger, that is one has understood the meaning of what is said in the chapter, at that point there is an immediate result. Namely, one comes to experience peace of mind again once the anger has been pacified. So by reading this chapter in a proper way, there is an immediate effect or result. One doesn't, so to speak, have to wait for a result in a future life.
Random bhaji dope nirang ya gola maker do dar tong tong roke tong de yin june je tsu du tong ba jase la le
So then we have come to verse 28 follows Even though Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas that only achieve their own welfare are seen to make effort as one would to put out a fire on one's head It is a practice of bodhisattvas to make effort, which is a source of good qualities for the sake of all beings. So here it is mentioned in this verse that one of the practices of a bodhisattva is to make effort.
Randon Baki Dropinita, the Ran Sanjay Namja, the name Danda Lanja Capso, Gola Maker, what Dopa, the Twin to Saint Chamber, Somban Tono, Twin to Sono, Broken Tondo, you did you make it. Take by Timber Lola, the name Dova, Broken Sinti, Tamjay, Tondo, you did Tamjay in June, the name Twin to Somba, Tom Gore, said Somba the Jasila.
So, as was said, It is here said that one should develop joyous effort or diligence. Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas are very diligent, but they do only make effort for their own welfare. They practice for their own personal sake, for the purpose of attaining personal liberation. Whereas a bodhisattva, that has entered the great vehicle or the Mahayana should make effort for the sake of all sentient beings, should develop joyous effort to the same extent, but it should be for the sake of all
beings.
So, generally speaking, one practices the Dharma by listening to teachings, reflecting upon their meaning, and taking up the ensuing understanding in the practice of meditation. If this is done with joyous effort, then one will be able to perfect these, the practice of these three aspects.
So
even if one might be very intelligent, endowed with superior knowledge, if there is no joyous effort or diligence, one won't be able to perfect one's practice.
This is an example
So, therefore, it's very important to acquaint oneself with or habituate oneself to joyous effort or diligence when listening to teachings, reflecting upon the meaning, and meditating
on it.
So, in the beginning, it might be difficult to have or develop joyous effort or diligence, but gradually one can habituate oneself to it, so after some time there will be no difficulties with respect to joyous effort or
diligence.
Now we come to verse 29, which is as follows. Understanding that the afflictions are completely conquered by superior insight, fully endowed with calm abiding, it is the practice of bodhisattvas to cultivate samadhi or concentration that totally goes beyond the four formless absorptions.
Because that something gomba something gomba somebody.
So here it is said that one needs to develop samadhi or meditate on samadhi.
It turned out the carrots and a hene yang takpa the dembe, lantong, kela, sondun juke, num mumba tangen number and jombar. He very sane, then it's zoomy yell yang takpa the dembe, something gomna.
For the following reason, namely, if the practices of superior insight and calm abiding are conjoined, then the samadhi one has developed at that point will be developed to the extent that one goes beyond the four formless absorptions.
And
by conjoining these two practices, then the afflictions or disturbing emotions are conquered. On the other hand, if one has developed calm abiding, the practice of calm abiding, to the extent that mind abides one point of view, but one lacks wisdom realizing selflessness, which is which belongs or is developed by means of superior insight, then by that practice alone, namely calm abiding, one is not able to conquer disturbing emotions or afflictions. Similarly, if one has developed superior insight, which means that one has developed wisdom realizing selflessness, but one has not developed calm abiding, which is the ability to rest one point within meditation, then again one is not able to conquer or overcome disturbing emotions or
afflictions.
Now we have come to verse number 30, which is as follows. Since one cannot attain perfect enlightenment through the practice of the five paramitas lacking wisdom, if the practice of bodhisattvas to cultivate wisdom free from concepts of the three elements and that is endowed with method.
Ikapso dami topi kira mina parudu simba nga yona yang parudu simba nga po tsam jetini dobu sanji ji kompang tok togu mare di sena tini tanda korso muto betini kira te kare simbo re simbo re.
So if one practices the five paramitas but lacks wisdom, that is to say wisdom realizing selflessness, then one is not able to attain complete Buddhahood. Therefore, wisdom free from concepts of the three elements is very important. The three elements, wisdom free from the three, from concepts of the three elements is or amounts to that one doesn't conceptualize subject, object and act as real and solid or truly existent. So subject, object and act are the three elements.
Pena parada semba nga po te yo na ya kira mi na tene tanda longa de che kwa yin song. Kira te longa te tan song ba.
So it has been said that practice of the five paramitas or perfections lacking wisdom is like a blind person walking around without a guide, and wisdom, the sixth paramita, wisdom or superior knowledge, is like the guide.
So long, longa than Dawore, Nami to be here at the Lonte than Dawore, this and not, they here at the Kajan.
So, wisdom or superior knowledge is very important. The example of blind people and a guide is given, or this analogy. If there are a couple of hundred blind people that desire to go to a specific place, they won't be able to do so without a guide. Whereas if they have a guide, they are able to arrive at the desired destination. Similarly, or the practice of the five paramitas lacking wisdom is like these blind people, and wisdom, the sixth paramita, is like the guide taking them to their desired destination. So
that's all. Do you have questions? Yes. I'm not sure I understand. I understood the explanation of the stanza on the dependence of Vipassana on shamatha.
The conjoined practice there?
Usually you say that that in order to have Vipassana, first you have to develop shamatha.
Oh, I see.
But this seems to be saying the opposite in a way, that you could have Vipassana without shamatha, but that would be bad. Is that the idea?
You could have shamatha without Vipassana.
Vipassana without shamatha.
Right.
But that would be bad. Is that the idea?
That's not to cheek to the beginning, do she need cheek to the beginning, do so far? Then a fan told me she needing on that look to be on it. She's thinking of the same as I'm pushing the book in a bit. Well, generally speaking, the preferred order of these practices would be to start out with shamatha and then proceed to vipassana. In terms of the Majjhimaka tradition, there are different approaches with respect to these two practices. According to Chandrakirti, then according to the method he has presented, one starts out with analytical meditation and by means of that develops an understanding of twofold selflessness, of that is of the individual and of the phenomena, and thereafter one proceeds to develop the practice of calm abiding or shamatha, which is to be able to rest one pointedly within meditation. So, as was said, according to Chandrakirti, one starts out with analytical meditation, by means of which one develops certainty with respect to twofold selflessness. So, one analyzes the individual self in order to develop an understanding and realization of that there is no individual self, and one also analyzes the self of phenomena in order to develop an understanding of that there are no truly existent phenomena. Such analytical meditation is not counted as authentic vipassana or superior insight, but that type of analytical meditation is included within the practice of superior insight or vipassana.
Tena ta kanza ga da me ba da chu ji da me ba la hi ra ji ke ba se ne te te kanza ga da do ma do pa da chu tam te de ba me ba da do ma do ge do sa be yi chi te bo ni chi te bo ji ne bi ji so.
So one then starts out analyzing the two types of self by means of wisdom or through wisdom, and as a result one will come to an understanding or realization of that there is no truly existent individual self nor any truly existent phenomena. Having developed that understanding or certainty, being firmly convinced of that there is no individual self nor any existent phenomena, one proceeds to develop shamatha or calm abiding. So one of the main reasons for mental confusion, for that mind is distracted and wanders, is that one has this belief in an individual self and in truly existent phenomena. Such grasping or belief is then the main source of mental confusion, distraction and so forth. So mind will naturally abide or rest when there is a total conviction and understanding of that there is no individual self. if one has realized that there is no truly existent individual self, at that point one has understood that the person who is distracted, and that towards he or she is distracted, both have no true existence or inherent existence. So one at that point doesn't grasp any individual self, and if one has understood or realized that there are no truly existent phenomena, at that point one will not grasp these either as real and solid, and in effect one will not be distracted by them anymore. So in dependence upon an understanding or realization of that there is no truly existent individual self, nor any truly existing phenomena, mind comes to naturally abide.
When na ngatu malang ngom aji bakapso, tuanchen rabo cipta malam tana malang ngom aji bakapso tu ni yingwa yungu yere, yingwa cipta yungu yere. Malang ngom cipta yina kau terbalik ka yeng yeng goya ke jemsi mepada aku yere. Malang ngom cipta kapso tu ni yingwa yungu yere.
So for example, if one when dreaming is not aware of that one is dreaming, one will be distracted by whatever is dreamt of, whereas if there is recognition of the dream for what it is, at that point one sees that there is no point in being distracted by all these unreal things. So at that point distraction ceases altogether and mind comes to abide naturally. So in Tibet, with respect to the practice of meditation, there were different approaches. One approach would emphasize analytical meditation, another resting meditation. A third approach would emphasize both of these, so one would conjoin the practice of both.
So
the essential point of the different approaches in fact comes to the same. For example, in dependence upon analytical meditation, one comes to a point, having practiced a lot, where analysis is exhausted, and at that point mind comes to rest naturally or abide
naturally.
Then we have the second approach, which is that one starts out emphasizing resting meditation in dependence upon oral instructions from one's teacher or guru. So usually the student or disciple at that point is taught to develop one-pointedness of mind by means of focusing on an object of meditation, by means of which distraction is pacified, concepts and so forth are pacified. Then once the ability to abide one-pointedly within meditation has been achieved, at that point the student is taught to analyze, is taught to resort to analytical meditation, which usually is that the student at that point analyzes the individual self and so forth, and at that point this practice of analytical meditation becomes very profound, since it's based on one-pointedness of mind. So there are these two main approaches. The first is an approach in which one seeks meditation through developing an understanding of the view. So one starts out, so to speak, with an intellectual approach and then proceeds to meditation. Then we have the second approach where one seeks the view based on meditation or within meditation. So at that point, as we saw, one starts out with the practice of meditation and then proceeds to develop what one may call an intellectual
understanding.
Then there is the third approach, which is the conjoined practice of these two approaches. Rinpoche says it's in fact quite difficult. In fact, for a beginner it's not possible to start out with conjoining these two practices. One either has to emphasize analytical meditation or resting meditation at the beginning. One emphasizes one or another.
That's a good question, no?
Yeah, I'm going to take it.